Hey, it's Bethany here with Dialed In. I'm so happy that you're listening today. Before we hop into this episode, I wanted to let you know about a new resource for this new decade. It is the Action Takers Resource Guide. So I know from experience that it can be so hard to know where to start. When you're thinking about making a change in your life, you know it's going to be uncomfortable and you know that it's going to take some time and dedication. And sometimes there's just so much information out there that it's hard to narrow down and choose a focus. So I've done that for you. In this resource guide, there's a complete list of all different kinds of things and ways for you to start. So here's how I want you to use this. Go to my website, bethanyclem.com. Simply enter your name and email. You get an immediate download of this resource. You can print it out. You can have it on your computer, but it takes you through all different steps to get to know yourself better. There's a list of podcasts that you can get plugged into. There are a huge amount of books here that you can start reading to help change your life. And there's even tools that can help you stay organized, among other things. Now, just pick one area. Just simply pick one area that appeals to you that you think, you know what, I could work this in to my daily routine, or I could work this into my routine 2 or 3 days a week. Pick one, get started. I'd love to hear how it goes. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you like the resource. And I can't wait to see how this year is amazing for you. All right, we'll get to the episode. Until next time, take action, live big, and enjoy Dialed In. Hey, it's Bethany here. Welcome to another episode of Dialed In. Today's episode is a little bit different. As you may or may not know, I spent a good amount of years in my career in the senior living industry. And prior to being in senior living, I was a nurse. My job just before landing in senior living was a emergency room nurse, which is a lot different from managing a team and building a team in a senior living community. So today I'm going to share with you the history behind how I came to really understand how to value people at work. And this is just one way I came to understand that. Now, don't shut me off yet if you're thinking this doesn't apply to me, because we do this as parents to our children. And sometimes even we include our spouse or our significant other in this. And what is this I'm talking about? Well, I'm talking about wet blanket meetings, or at home, we may refer to them as wet blanket lectures. So early in my first management position, I was really fortunate to be surrounded by people that were seasoned. They were seasoned mentors, and they really poured into me about all kinds of things, but many things I still had to learn by failing at them. Sometimes I would fail miserably. And looking back, I can just see how my lack of experience led me through those failures. But at the same time, as long as we're willing to learn from our failures, they can be the best teachers. In fact, one of my mentors commonly says, failure is success's companion. And isn't that the truth? The people that are the most successful in life are the ones that have failed and learned from those failures. So anyway, back to my story. So in the interview process, when I was leading up to my first management position, I just remember talking about how the main thing, the most important thing to me as a manager, was for me to lead in a way where everyone knew that they were valued. At the time, I had been in several non-management positions throughout my career, and I had been treated poorly by managers and by coworkers basically just because of my role at work. I had been a dietary aide, I had been a CNA, and then I had been an LPN before getting my RN, my registered nursing degree. So it was really vital that everyone was valued and knew that their work role was important. Now, at the time, I thought that was simply because of my experience, but the truth is, it's so much bigger than that. So I am a ID on the DISC personality profile. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up, or you can even go to my website and connect with me on a call, and I'd be happy to explain to you what DISC is. It's so important to me that I became a consultant for DISC, but every different personality style has different fears and different strengths. And so I'm not going to go into all the styles, but for me, as an I, I'm a high I, which means I'm a high level influencer. My biggest fear is not belonging, which is probably why when I was in sixth grade and the popular girls told me I couldn't hang out with them, it's why that devastated me so much. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, so as a high I, it's important for me to have everybody included. And looking back, I can see how that has played out in my career. So although the principle of valuing everyone was vital to me, I completely undermined it by having wet blanket meetings. I confused the difference between valuing people and really holding them accountable. So, okay, here's what a wet blanket meeting looks like. A manager calls a meeting and talks specifically about a problem that's happening at work. And I'm just going to say, let's say it's a problem with reporting, and the reporting is not being completed on time. So the manager talks about ways to improve the reporting time and how it's not acceptable to turn in reports late. And he or she then may go on to describe the consequences for the lack of respecting the reporting times, etc., etc. Now, maybe even the manager asks for feedback in this meeting on different ways to improve the completion of reporting. And oftentimes may hear nothing but crickets as a response. That was my experience. So why do I call this a wet blanket meeting? Because here's the thing. The reporting only pertains to a select few individuals in the room. So maybe you have 30 staff in there and 5 of them have to do reporting. So what you're doing is basically throwing an old wet blanket on every team member. You're lowering the mood, you're lowering the energy. It causes team members who don't have to do reporting to ask if they're missing something, if they don't know about something they should be doing. It raises anxiety, and then it causes the ones that do the reporting correctly to second guess themselves. And then that drives disengagement at work. So to take this a step further, in my experience, after the meeting, the people who were submitting the reports on time would come to my office in a state of confusion, wondering what they were doing wrong. And others would come to my office asking if they were supposed to submit reports and they didn't know about it. And so I would take all this time to explain and reassure the staff after I had thrown an old wet blanket on them. Now, in addition to this, I was also wasting the time of everyone else there, which led them to feel like they didn't matter, like they weren't valued. And this is the exact thing that I wanted to avoid. So why would someone do that? Why would a manager do that? Or why, as a parent, would you do that? And I'll explain this more in regards to parenting in just a few minutes. So you may do it out of fear of confrontation, fear of conflict, or fear of not being liked. Oh, look, they're all fears. Isn't that interesting? You would do it out of fear. So as I went on and it became apparent to me that my method of wet blanket meetings was not working, I learned that it was my role to address the situation timely. As soon as it happened, as soon as possible, a gap I had in my schedule, I had to take time to address the situation. in a timely manner and one-on-one with the individual who was needing the coaching and accountability measures. Yes, this takes time and effort and planning, but it's so worth it. It actually saves time because you don't have to spend a majority of time reassuring the other staff, and you can spend your meeting times covering items that involve every team member. So when it's done well, this increases the team member's feeling of being valued because the manager cares enough about them to have a conversation and combine their efforts to drive better results. So how can you avoid what blanket meetings? I have two ways. Number one, when you're creating a meeting agenda with broad topics, just be sure to ask yourself if the opportunity for improvement is needed for everyone or if it's just a few. If it's just a few, then address those few in a separate meeting. And then number two, ask yourself, am I avoiding conflict, confrontation, or not being liked? Is this fear-driven? And if it is, be real with yourself, rethink your approach, and if you need help, ask a coach or a mentor to walk this path and help you decipher what's going on. Hard conversations about performance or anything else are, well, hard, right? At work or at home. And one way that I have found to start the conversation is to let the team member know that I was nervous about the conversation and that they meant a lot to me. This works at work and at home, guys. Because when you come at someone and you're being vulnerable, it's really hard for them to respond to you in a defensive way. If you're opening your heart and your defense is down and your guard is down, it is likely that someone will respond back to you that same way. So I would let them know that I was nervous about the conversation because I cared about them. And it wasn't easy on my end either, but that I knew together we could figure out a solution and that I believed in them. I also learned to include positive things about what they were doing in their role at work into the discussion. And then also to be sure that I was addressing the behavior and not the person. So I was talking about the behavior and I wasn't labeling the staff member. So I believe that together we can end wet blanket meetings. Now, if you're a parent, I mentioned earlier, this is something that you can fall into at home. So maybe you lecture or you correct all of your kids. And maybe even you include your spouse or your significant other when you're having, I'm using air quotes here, a meeting. Or it might be a mom rant or a dad rant if you're a male listening to me. And maybe it's really something that only one child needs coaching for. Take the time. Sit down with the individual one-on-one. Be real, put your guard down, and I promise you, amazing things can happen from that. So I hope this has served you well today. I appreciate you being here and listening to Dialed In. There's two ways that you can support this podcast. Number one, be sure to subscribe. That means a lot to me. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, will you please leave a review? That would be absolutely amazing. And then share. If this will serve someone that you know, please pass it on. Cut and paste the link. Pass on the name of the podcast to someone that you know. That would mean everything to me. I am here to add value, to help you move forward, so you can live a big life. So on that note, until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.